Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, as I was preparing for this Sunday, I was excited to see that 1 Corinthians text about the body and its members and its gifts, because I've got probably 20 sermons on that thing under my belt, and I figured it's a piece of cake. But I ran across this Nehemiah text, and I was just floored. It's really the only text that I was able to uncover that talks about Scripture in quite this way. It's a powerful story. Ezra is there with Nehemiah, and Nehemiah commands all the people to come and gather near the water gate, and has Ezra, the high priest, begin to read Scripture to them. It says, from early in the morning until noon, he read to them and interpreted Scripture for them. 6 hours. Who's signing up? You know, I can see the small group list. We're going to have the 6-hour gospel reading, or, you know, 6-hour of Scripture reading, small group. It would be a very empty list. 6 hours they were there, and they began to listen as God's story for them unfolded in Scripture. And the text tells us that they began to weep and to cry and to lament as they heard their lives unfolded in these words and on these pages, as their sins were revealed, as their shortcomings were shown forth, as the brokenness of their bodies and their lives began to be revealed. It hit them at the heart. It's a story about Scripture. It's one that we are certainly not particularly accustomed to hear. After all, and I'm sorry to say this, but for most Christians anyway, pretty much all the Bible reading they get happens on Sunday morning. Little tiny snippets of Scripture that some committee somewhere decided went together. Not, at least not all the time. And I'm sorry to say that if the only interpretation or the only engagement that you have with that Scripture is the little bit of yapping that I do, you are missing so much. And you're not alone. A few years ago, the Pew Charitable Trust, together with the Gallup poll, began to ask Christian people of lots of faiths, but specifically Christians, about their familiarity with the Bible. How much do you know? How often do you read the Bible? Do you have one? And what the crux of the thing, what the results showed, was that in fact, most Christians had a Bible somewhere. And for most of them, when you opened it up, it makes that crackling sound. You know, by the way, there's nothing worse than going to a Bible study and opening your Bible and having it go, everyone knows. Sad to say, but most Christians, at least according to this poll, are biblically illiterate. We are not engaged and familiar with the first language of our faith that comes in Holy Scripture. Well, what do we miss? I think we miss a tremendous amount. One of my favorite things over the past 20 years of my ministry has been to have the honor of engaging people in Scripture and study. I remember when Scripture began to open for me. The first time I really got excited about studying the Bible was when I began to take Greek. And I got, as one of my assignments, to translate just like two lines of the book of Mark, which is the easiest one. It took me 4 hours. 4 hours just to translate two lines. But in that, I began to see God's word in a new way. I remember the first time one of my confirmation students in our studying of the Bible saw for the first time in God's word not judgment, but grace. And I remember her saying, "Are you saying that in Romans God says that God shows no partiality? Are you saying that God says that God loves me just for who I am?" And I said, "Yeah." She was astounded. That had not been part of her experience or part of her theology or part of her understanding of what God had in store for her. It was amazing. I remember the first time I had an actual argument, an actual theological argument with my father-in-law, a great theologian and pastor of over 50 years, the first time I had a theological argument with him based on Scripture that I didn't feel like an idiot. And every Thursday here at Lutheran Church of Honolulu, one of the things that has become my favorite part of the week is to gather with a small group of people to read Scripture, to talk about it, to not only engage it, but to be engaged by that Scripture, to disagree and agree, to have fun and drink coffee, to act as if God's Word makes a difference. I think Nehemiah is on to something. The words themselves, this little book by itself, is just words. You can get any kind of translation into almost any language. You can get lovely paraphrases that have no actual resemblance to what Scripture actually says. You can get really serious and read the King James Version because you know that's God's actual word. You didn't know God had a British accent. But to be changed by the word, to fall in love with what God is saying to all of us, just as this crowd who were gathered with Nehemiah at the Watergate found themselves both convicted, exposed, and deeply loved. I grieve for our brothers and sisters who open up Scripture and only see for others judgment. I grieve for those who find in the law only fear because they haven't had it opened. Ezra didn't just read the Scripture. It says that Ezra and Nehemiah, all of those gathered there, were hearing and receiving and having it interpreted, made it a part of their lives. And that's what we need as well. That day when Jesus entered the synagogue, he could have simply stood up and read the Scripture and sat down, and people would have said, "Okay, big deal. You've taken two parts of Isaiah, you've put them together, it's all lovely. Now sit down and be quiet." The power of the word, of God's word, came when Jesus said, "Today, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Can you imagine? Jesus proclaims through the words of Isaiah that the poor will be lifted up and the hungry will be fed, and those who are oppressed will be given comfort. Today. Well, you are God's word, present and active in the world. In you, this day, will Scripture be fulfilled. So listen and hear, engage and be engaged in that word of God that sets us free and sends us out with God's grace and God's beauty. To eat the fat things and drink sweet wine and be washed over with God's word, the first language of our faith. Amen.